Today on Real Life Radio.
Look, we don't want your money. We don't want your kids. We don't want your husband or your wife. You keep them. Jesus wants your life. And he doesn't want it dead. He wants it alive for him.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Book of Revelation with the message, The First Rider of the Apocalypse. Here in chapter 6, we're given yet another key to understanding a series of events known as the Great Tribulation. Now, this 7-year period will be a time of great deception that begins with a treaty with the nation of Israel and her surrounding enemies. You see, during this time period, there's a global need for political reform, and there's one man who will be able to provide it. That's the same man in the Bible called the Antichrist. Now, these fascinating and terrible times are revealed to us so that we'll know what's going to happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a victorious general always rides a white horse as a display of his power. But the one on the white horse during the tribulation period, it's not Jesus. The first rider of the apocalypse is the Antichrist, an imposter who will first bring a false peace to the world, but will soon usher in utter destruction. Now in his message called The First Rider of the Apocalypse, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The first rider of the apocalypse, verse 2, is something that we learn regarding the deception of Satan upon the world. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 says, I looked and behold, a white horse. Can you circle that, please? A white horse. He who sat on it had a bow. You ought to circle bow. And he had a crown. You should circle crown. Those are the issues. A horse, a bow, a crown. He was given these things. And he went out to conquering and to conquer. A lot of people mistake this for Jesus Christ. There's a big problem about this. It's not Jesus. You see, well, the description's the same as it is in Revelation 19. No, it's not. In Revelation chapter 19, the Bible says Jesus has many crowns. And the word crowns in Revelation 19 is the word diadem, the absolute crown of an absolute ruler. This guy has got a Stephanos, a crown given to anyone who wins a heat in a race or wins a battle in a war. It's not Jesus Christ. Not at all. He's riding a white horse. The white horse is synonymous in ancient history for those who have won a battle, one who has gone out. The truth is, this man's the Antichrist who brings in the advent of these things. The book of Daniel has tremendous, and we shall see in future studies, input on this. So the first rider is the Antichrist, and he comes and he's upon a white horse. Matthew 24:24 says, Jesus speaking, he says, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's those converted during the tribulation period. Jesus says, watch out. Satan is going to be so prevalent in the world in the last days, there's going to be miracles done that will have nothing to do with the power of God. It will be the power of Antichrist, false prophets. Church, I am desperately concerned about the condition of the church in the world at this hour. If something happens by way of miracle, many so-called believers will sacrifice biblical truth to embrace a tortilla shell that's got an image, or to go drive to some other parts of the world by hook or by crook to worship some sort of building that's got some sort of insignia somehow stamped on it by a miracle. And if you just put your friend in front of it, they'll be healed or whatever. And guess what happens? Healings happen. You see, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is the message that follows these things. Now listen, this is very, very our time. If people are getting healed by some aberration that's taking place in Central America, and it's happening all over in Central America, then who's doing it if the message after the healing is, yes, Jesus is one of the saviors? Now listen, listen up. I am dead serious about this. If you're blind, or if you know somebody who's blind, you will be tempted to bring them love and comfort and at any expense open their eyes. You'll be tempted. Will you sacrifice biblical truth so that that person might see again? What happens if you want your friend to walk again? But the doctrine is different than the Bible. And you go to this service or this thing, and they're doing this and the other in the name of Jesus and fill in the blank, and that person's healed. Let me tell you, according to the Bible, you would have been deceived by this miracle. You see, well, are miracles wrong? It all depends on the message associated with the miracle, people. Is the message done biblically by God Almighty? And is Jesus Christ alone receiving all the glory? Does it bring honor and glory to God alone? Or is his glory shared with another? What does the Bible say about that? My glory I will not share with another. So you got to be kidding me. You're scaring me, you know, because listen, Jesus said it's going to be so powerful in the last days of miracles and things happening that are not of God, that if it were possible, even my very chosen people would be deceived. By the way, you read that in the original language, and it means that his people, his true people, cannot be deceived by them. It's a very comforting thing. I know that's not popular. You're going to write me a note about that. Go ahead and write it. That was truth. Be careful. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." Very serious. Satan's deception upon the world. Listen, the answer to be ready and filled with is don't be fooled by people riding on white horses. Hey, we've got this ministry coming to town. A preaching service or an evangelistic service or a healing service. The false always has part of the mask a little crooked. Hey, we're going to come and hold a healing service for you. We're not going to ask for, it's not going to cost you a thing. And then you come and it's past the plate. You know what? If you want to have your faith really, really emboldened, we're going to pass the plate again. You don't want to hinder the work of God, do you? So we're going to pass the plate again. We want to really be Christ's servants. So you know what? Why don't you just will to us your property and your cars and whatever you own. Trust God and have faith, brother. Just take out a $100 bill and put it in the offering. And it's okay if it's your last $100 because God will bless your faith. Hey, why don't those guys put a sock in it and exercise faith themselves? Why don't they act upon what they say? Be careful. Does God heal? Yes. And I've seen healings in this church. And you know what? I've seen most of them done quietly in a prayer room or off to the side when someone's being prayed for, and people have been healed of cancer, leukemia, tumors. It's happened. You know what, though? God has convicted my heart to never parade that in front of people. And by the way, these things have been medically documented. And this is how it's documented, by the way. Well, we must have gotten your x-rays mixed up with somebody else. Even though you've gone through 3 weeks of chemo, you don't need to do it anymore. It was our mistake. Anything but God be the glory. You know what I mean? God heals. So don't think I'm some kind of a, you know, quench about that. God heals and he heals today. But who gets the glory? And if anybody comes to town saying, you know what? God, I really move in your life if you give me your money. In the first century church, the Bible, the churches had an agreement. If anyone came preaching and they asked for money or if they could stay in your house, throw them out of the church. Did you know that? That's awesome. You will never see a band in this church or a speaker at this church that requires money. If they say, well, we can't come unless we have this, they're not coming. Trust the Lord. This man, the Antichrist, comes and he comes giving all that the world wants. Why? He's fooling people and he's riding on a white horse. It's almost comical. It wasn't so pathetic. White horse, probably white pants, white shirt, big, tall, white hat. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he returns in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, when the lawless one is revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth at his coming, will destroy him with the brightness of his appearance. The coming of the lawless one is accordance to the working of Satan, and he does so with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Watch out. Jesus spoke of this imposter that would come. In John 5, 43, Jesus says, I have come in my own, or my Father's name. I have come in my Father's name, and you have not received me. But another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. Jesus was speaking about the coming of the Antichrist. Another thing that we learn in verse 2 is don't be intimidated by the powers of evil. He sat upon the horse, and he had a bow. This is an interesting word. He had a bow, but he had no arrows. Jesus doesn't carry a bow, does he? By the way, many scholars believe that during the first century church, as this book was written, by the way, in the first century, God gave it in the first century, Apollo, the Greek god Apollo, carried a bow without arrows. And they believe that he was the god of prophecy. And the Christians, the first century church, believed that Apollo was the god of false prophecies, and he carried a bow without arrows. Isn't it interesting that here at the close of the first century, Jesus tells the church to watch out and for the world to be on guard because there's one coming on a white horse. He's got a bow with no arrows. He's got a bow. He has no spear. He's got no sword. He's got no shield. Jesus comes forth in Revelation 19 out of heaven with a what in his hand? A sword. The Antichrist carries a bow. By the way, ancient scholars believe that this term means, and Daniel, the prophet, backs it up, that he will first conquer through peace. He doesn't need arrows. He conquers through peace, through treaties. That's exactly what Daniel says. That for the first 3.5 years, he brings a stupor upon the globe and creates a peace treaty, and the whole world is blessed by prosperity and peace. I got news for you. If somebody arose right now and said, I will guarantee peace, guaranteed, people will vote for that guy even if he looks like a clown. Peace at any cost is the cry of the world. He comes in with no bow or with no arrows, with a bow only, and he comes conquering and to conquer. Don't be duped by what you think you see. It says that he comes conquering and to conquer. It means that he begins. These words are used twice. It's the same word. It means that he begins winning small battles and he wins increasingly bigger battles until he has won the world. And that of the popular opinion. It's an interesting thing. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says that then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm, that is, succeed where others have failed, a covenant. That is a league or an agreement made in blood, by the way. The word covenant means an agreement or league made with blood. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many, not only Israel, but its neighbors for 7 years, Daniel 9:27 says. That's a very important thing. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10, we're almost done. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. The Bible says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That is when they had opportunity. They didn't give their heart to Christ when they had the chance. And for this reason, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will send those people strong delusion so that they will believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. How does that happen? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 is talking about the coming of the Antichrist. And those, listen, those people who had opportunity to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, now, perhaps at this time, today, they heard the gospel, they willfully rejected, then the rapture takes place. Some of you may be banking on this. You may be thinking, you know what, just quick, you know, keep yapping from week to week. If any of this stuff comes to pass, then I'll accept Jesus during the tribulation period. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 and 12, you won't have that chance. You won't get that opportunity. In fact, you're worse off. 2 Thessalonians 2 says that if you listen and listen without accepting him, then that moment takes place. God will send you in judgment the inability to believe. Why? Because you've stood your ground while the opportunity was given. Hey, what happens if Noah, you know, built the ark, 120 years, built the ark, and God says, okay, get in. No, I don't want to get in. Hey, the flood's coming. I said, get in the boat. I don't want to get in the boat. I don't like boats. What if? God would have, I tell you, brought the judgment with or without Noah. Hey, Lot, leave. What if Lot wouldn't have left? Interesting thought. What happened to Lot's wife? She looked back to where her heart was, didn't she? Very important. That's frightening enough in the life of a believer. What about a non-believer who comes to church or goes to an evangelistic message and here's the way of truth, that Jesus died for their sins, that there's no other way to heaven but through him, and they blow him off. Ah, I'm going to go play in the world for a while. I'll just keep coming to church on Sunday. That's cool. I'll just cover all my bases. Hey, brother, sister, if you know someone like that, you need to pray for them and you need to tell them the truth. That they need to accept Christ today. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle said, today's the day. Now's the time. Now watch this. Pastor, you're putting somebody on the seat now. You're going to push me into this. Look, we don't want your money. We don't want your kids. We don't want your husband or your wife. You keep them. Jesus wants your life. And he doesn't want it dead. He wants it alive for him. So we get nothing out of it. It's to him. But my friend, if that rapture takes place and you've said no, 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 like Pharaoh, you'll be hardened in your shoes in the concrete. So that God will send you strong delusion so that you will believe the lie. And what will be the lie of all lies? The Antichrist will declare himself to be God in the temple in Jerusalem. And the world will say, that's so cool. He's God. You're God. I'm God. We're all gods. Because that's the doctrine of Satan. From the garden to the false prophets today. Isn't it true? People knocking on your door saying, you can become a God too. That's old doctrine, man. It's been around since the Garden of Eden. And then we'll end with this. The scripture says that he looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him had a bow and had a crown that was given to him. And I want you to mark was given to him. Because he went out conquering and to conquer. And this is what I want to end with. It's just a personal application right now, people. It's just personal. You can even close your Bibles and think about these things. The Antichrist that's coming, he's upon the white horse. And he is the one of the first seal, the first rider, and those that ride behind him bring havoc to the earth and mayhem. Man's government, man's rule, man's control, left without the intervention of God, is destroyed by self. And I want you to think about this. Satan is deceiving, and he's been attempting to write into your life. Listen, every day of your life, he attempts to write into your life on a white horse, so to speak. Before we were Christians, he rode in quite willfully and freely. Do you know what I mean by that? Remember that? Before we were Christians, we could sin without thought. There was no difference in our lives. We schemed on how not to get caught. And then be it young, middle-aged, or old, we began to think different thoughts. God began to speak to our hearts. And at some point in time, we gave our hearts to Christ. We were saved, the Bible puts it. That is, Jesus took the yoke or the wheel of our lives. And he began to control. The Bible calls it conversion. We came to faith in Jesus. And for some of us, some of those sins stopped immediately. Do you remember in your life what some of those things were? Maybe you cussed like a sailor. Maybe you were a sailor. And then you got saved. And you didn't cuss anymore after that. Some people are touched by God in an instant. Maybe you were in alcohol. And the alcohol was changed in a moment. No more. There's people in this room that were converted that way. They got saved and then never had a hunger for alcohol again or whatever it might be. Then there's some people who got saved and they stopped cussing, but it's taken them 15 years to get over their alcohol. God's working in our lives all differently. It's amazing. But he's at work. And the beautiful thing about who we are now in Jesus, we can't even sin right anymore. Have you noticed that? You backslide. I'm not saying you backslide. You don't. You better not. You know. But if you do, maybe you're backsliding this morning. Oh man, whoa, put a sock in it. Get out of here, Pastor. Just leave. I'm almost done. The truth is, if you're a Christian and you've got the Holy Spirit in your life and you're planning on sinning, you know, you stink at it. And you know what? Believers can see it all over your face. You're so guilty. It's in your eyes. You know what I'm talking about? We've all been there. The Christian just doesn't glow like he or she once glowed, you know? Hey, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. Why? Oh. I haven't seen you in a while. Or you just don't look as happy as you usually. Your joy's kind of gone. Gosh, you know what? I see this in young people. But maybe they either dabbled into drugs or spiritism or sex. I see them the next week around campus here, and you can see that something's wrong. Hey, how are you? I'm okay. I'm fine. Great. How are you? And something's not right. The light, the candle's dimmed just a little bit. I want to encourage you, Christian, God stokes those flames. Listen, a broken reed, he will not break, and a smoking wick, he will not extinguish. He'll get you turned back on. It's time to get right with him, though. Why? Because the deceiver's coming, and he's already, according to 1 John, in the earth today, deceiving people. The spirit of him, of Satan. But for those of you who have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, if you're feeling a little bit of pressure right now, praise God. May his thumb come through this roof and this ceiling and just smash you one. But I tell you what, he's smashing you in love. He wants you to be in heaven with him forever. So don't be one of those who've heard it and you just file it away. There will come a day when the door is shut and you will never, ever be able to come to him, nor be saved, nor ever have the hope of heaven. Don't let that happen to you. Today, while it is time, Paul says, now is the acceptable time. Don't be deceived. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, the seriousness of these two verses and the advent of the Antichrist, a very, very serious attempt by Satan to assert authority he once had, but is now lost as he'll try to disguise the world that he's the ruler. And he'll dress up in a freaky way to try to imitate you. And we shall see this theme from here on out. Imitation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The First Rider of the Apocalypse. We're so glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, The First Rider of the Apocalypse is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, February's book of the month from Pastor Jack, it's actually a movie, and it's called Genesis, Paradise Lost. When so many of us are searching for our ancestry these days, the movie Genesis, Paradise Lost takes us back to the beginning. Have you struggled with maybe sharing your faith and about what the Bible says about creation? The truth that God created the heavens and the earth is still a battleground that leaves a lot of Christians unprepared. But this award-winning film brings the first chapter of Genesis to life. Genesis, Paradise Lost is a stunning documentary that exposes the lie millions believe about evolution and gives the truth about who we are and why we're here. And more importantly, the truth about who created us. So explore the evidence and experience creation like you've never seen it before. Don't miss your opportunity to watch this very unique and powerful film. This visually rewarding film has the Dove seal for all ages, which means that you can watch it with the whole family and include it in your homeschool curriculum if you'd like. It's also a fantastic tool for witnessing and will open up some pretty interesting conversations. Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.